So is John here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes.
John, can you come on for a minute?
Yes.
Hi, John. We've already done some planning matters. I'm going to have the clerk bring you up to date on a variety of items from Fire Route 160 to Dinner Top rezoning. So I'll let him follow up with you at this point, Tom.
Let me apologize. For some reason, I always thought the color was 7 o'clock. I don't know what it changed, and it's my fault for not being able to read an agenda. So I apologize greatly. I did hear a lot of Mr. Sneed's comments about wanting to get together, and certainly we have no issue with that. So at the planning board, I'd be happy to join in with plans. Apologize for missing any of the public meeting, but... It's 6:30, the normal time, Your Worship?
Yes.
Wanting to make sure.
A variance meeting could be at 6 o'clock, but then, or right. Rezoning or something, but then we do the actual council always starts at 6:30. The reason not have been on until 7, we might have had depositions that have carried on until 7.
No excuses. I will pay attention to the future.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to just have Lance bring you up to date on what has already transpired, and you've heard some of it, so go ahead.
So, John, what we've done is we've deferred the Dennertog rezoning and the application and bylaw 2021-27. Both of those have been deferred until the next council meeting. Consent application B23-2021. I believe that's the ridge at Manitou consideration.
Right.
Okay. So that's the one that our resolution on that one is to meet with the planning board prior to June 28th to go through some of the issues and concerns that Mr. Sneed and the residents of Fire Route 160 have brought forward tonight to council. And to review the information going forward to the planning board for application number B23-2021.
Okay, so I didn't hear of a scheduled time, but it sounds like it's something they want to meet with as quickly as possible, and I'll do my best to accommodate that early timetable.
Okay.
Yeah, perhaps we can talk about it tomorrow morning prior to our other telephone conversation.
Okay, that's fine. Now, with respect to the Dennertog matter, I apologize, but I've been working with the parties, and hopefully we're coming to a point where there is an agreement in terms of how we move forward. So that's where my understanding is on that file.
Okay, the one Dennertog we didn't receive until quite late, so we didn't have time to get it on the council agenda and in the council package. So we've deferred that, and I'll be following up with you tomorrow on those.
Okay, so again, my sincere apologies, and I'll pay attention to the agenda timetables.
Okay, thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Okay, I'll talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving into 12,
yep.
Correspondence for consideration. We have a resolution 21-221. Be resolved that the Council of Township Governors hereby receive the correspondence for consideration. Mover and a seconder, please. Councilor Carmichael, seconder. Councilor Ancinelli, any discussion? We have several things. We have the OPP detachment, the Town First Sound Resolution, and then we have the fire safety thing coming forward. So, any discussion? Call a question, all in favor? Carried, thank you. So the first one is Resolution 21-222, Be resolved that the Council of Township of Cuddles hereby support the Town of Perry Sound Resolution 2021-63 with respect to the creation of the Ontario Provincial Police Detachment Boards. Mover and a seconder. Councillor Kecken. Second. Councillor Carmichael. You want to speak to it, Mike?
I think the resolution itself is quite explanatory, and the 12.1.1 in the council package, correspondence from the Solicitor General, March 18th, 2021, just indicating the process that's taking place regarding the establishment of community policing advisory boards and the move from the CPAC committees that are existence for the 51.1 section from the police service board, which we currently are. I think the one point about the Perry Sound resolution, you know, they basically support the May 12th proposal form that has been submitted by the representative from McDougal Township, which is a high-level overview of what the board is going to be comprised of, the seven West Perry Sound municipalities plus the Henby Inlet First Nation, how many municipalities are on the board, that no municipalities have been left out of the board or opted out of the board, basic population information, and how many provincial appointees and community appointees will be sitting on the board, which would be two of each of those. The one point with the Perry Sound resolution is stressing that the municipalities don't want to be downloaded any extra costs moving to the new board format from the previous CPAC committees, because the formation of a board is going to take resources, as you can see in that resolution.
Okay. Any further discussion? Don, you want to say anything?
No.
Okay. Call a question, all in favor? Sure. So, there's a long resolution, 21-223. Whereas the Community Safety and Policing Act, CPSA 2019, calls for the end of the Community Police Advisory Committees, the CPACs, and the creation of the Ontario Provincial OPP Police Department Boards, and whereas the Ministry of the Solicitor General has developed an OPP Detachment Board framework that will allow affected municipalities and First Nations the flexibility to create a board that reflects community and local needs, and whereas the Ministry of the Solicitor General has asked municipalities and First Nations within an attachment area to work together to determine the composition of their board and the manner in which they will submit their proposal to the ministry. And whereas members of the existing West Perry Sound District, CPAC, have indicated...
must be interesting.
Yeah. Indicated interest in establishing a board representative of CPAC municipalities and First Nations. Now, therefore, that the Council of Township McKellar hereby supports submission by the CPAC representative from the municipality of McDougal to the province of Ontario, the Ontario OPP Detachment Board proposal, substantially in the form attached, representing the seven West Perry Sound area municipalities and the Henby Inlet First Nations, with the following additional considerations / proposals. One, the following will be included as administrative resources infrastructure required to support the establishment of the detachment board. Administrative support for taking minutes of meetings, prepare, distribute, and publish agenda and meeting notices, prepare draft policy documents, administer expenses, prepare annual reports and cost estimates, and maintain board records. Secure place for records, meeting location, electronic requirements, establishing funding requirements, personal accident insurance, legal advice, honorariums, ongoing training, traveling meals, advertising, any other administrative resources, infrastructure common to the board. Number two, that it be clarified to province that with the province that funding for these resources, infrastructures be through the province as the establishment of detachment boards is an initiative of the province. That in an effort to reduce the duplication of effort and training, that the board be established upon the 2022 municipal election, and further that this resolution be forwarded to the municipalities within the West Perry Sound District and the Henvey Inlet First Nations. I would like to move her in a second. Councillor Ketchum, second.
Councillor Snelling. Can you hear it again?
Ditto.
He's awake now.
Ditto. Okay. Any questions? Anyone want to speak to it? You know what's going on? Okay. Call a question, all in favor? Sure. Thank you. We're not having you read it. There we go. So the next one is the fire safety. Okay. Resolution 21224, that the Council of the Township of Recovery has received a letter dated March 29, 2021 from the Ministry of Community Safety and Correctional Services to McKellar Fire Chief Ron Harrison regarding the fire safety grant program for increased training opportunities, and that the Council of Township of McKellar is hereby approved the fire safety grant transfer payment agreement between the Province of Ontario and the Township of McKellar. I have a mover and a second, please. Councillor Ancinelli? Councillor Burnley? Is there, do you want to speak to it, Mark?
I think it's pretty straightforward. It's basically, we're getting money.
You're getting money. We're training money, right? Because of the closing the fire stations? Is that what the fire training things?
Yes, because of the
profit is that?
Yes, because of the and of course, you can see the deadline was an issue, so that's why this is a somewhat urgent.
Yeah, March.
Yeah, that's COVID delay. Yeah, it's okay. You know, it's
yeah. Okay, all right. I understand.
Yeah, right.
Any further discussion? Call a question on paper? Here. So the money is specific, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So the next one, we're moving into the audited statements, and that I'm going to put on the agenda now at 21225. Be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar is hereby accept the 2020 financial statements prepared by Mahapical and Associates Chartered Accountant as presented on May 11th, 2021. May I have a mover and a second, please? Councillor Carmichael? Second. Councillor Antonelli? What I would like to do is to have just O'Shan as our new treasurer dealing with the situation. Is there anything in here that comes out that we should be looking at and the actions that your department can take from this? I mean, it's a good audit from what I understand, but
right.
Your comments, please.
The only thing I can say, you know, as the auditor said, you know, the township is in really good shape. The reserve, they have very good, healthy reserves, and the bank balances is positive, so overall we are in good shape. Obviously, we are looking at the different things to cut down the our expenses and improve the our services, and that's an ongoing process. And that's we will be looking forward to do different things, and also we are looking at our assets. That's part of the our assets management, and we are looking at that one, and we will try to figure out what we have and what we are reporting in the financial statements.
Any questions for O'Shan or on the document? Councillor Ketchum?
Usually the auditor is one of the things that is available to ratepayers and councillors is the and should be public is the manager's report. Is that?
I think that's the management report from the for the councillors as well as ratepayers.
So this is the independent page one, the independent.
Yeah.
So that's the. That there is the
their comments and
management
the,
report.
Yeah.
So the last paragraph. Maybe you could just paraphrase what that is saying. It says, we communicate with those charged with governments regarding, among other matters, the planned scope and timing of the audit and significant audit findings, including significant deficiencies in internal controls that we had identified during our audit.
I think they wanted to say that, you know, during the audit, if they find any deficiency in internal controls or any other matters, they definitely put forward towards the people who are in charge of the things. So they can communicate with treasurer as well as CEO and the other members of the council.
So they're indicating that they have, according to the management letter, that they have not noticed any significant deficiencies in internal control that they could identify during their audit.
That's what they're saying. That's my understanding.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, we'll call a question. All in favor? Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. So we have a whereas, sorry, it's 21226. Whereas Ontario Long-Term Care COVID-19 Commission's final report is now being delivered, and the health system leaders in Westbury Sound want to be prepared for the changes that are expected to come. And whereas health authorities of the Westbury Sound District are working together, including the boards of the Westbury Sound Health Center, Lakeland Long-Term Care, and Belvedere Heights Long-Term Care, with a vision to provide the best possible solution to long-term care and health care for the seniors in our community. And whereas among considerations being proposed is a new model of health care, a campus of care, which essentially provides a continuum of care for the elderly to age in place, including, where appropriate, their own apartments, other independent or assisted living arrangements, as well as long-term care, all affiliated with and in proximity to local primary health care and wellness services. And whereas it is proposed that the community of seniors continue to live at home, be supported by our vision of virtual care, which would include professional home-based health and wellness care supported by high-speed internet services. Therefore, be resolved that Township McKellar supports these initiatives and the collaborative efforts between the province and the local stakeholders to develop innovative and improved care for seniors in our community. We have a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Carmichael, seconder. Councillor Nzinelli, want to speak to it?
Sure. We've been working on this project now for quite a few months. Initially, it started after we didn't get approval for the initial beds at Belvedere, which subsequently did come, as you know, a few months ago. We got a surprise at the additional beds. But we'd already started working on a campus of care model. Fundamentally, Belvedere is landlocked. We can't really expand beyond the 24. It's still not an efficient bed size. And the biggest problem is parking in a residential area. It's a really complicated problem, right, in terms of trying to deal with that. So the campus of care really makes a lot of sense from that perspective, but even much more importantly, to provide all of these various options for seniors living, including those who can't afford higher cost living arrangements. So it is really a very exciting opportunity to provide multiple opportunities for people to reside in either affordable housing or townhomes or garden homes or other kinds of retirement living. We have been looking at Georgian Village in Penetanguishene, which we've got a great relationship with County and Simcoe in terms of them providing us support. And they have found that they have a very mature system now because they were the first in the province. And they have found that people can stay at home in the retirement and not enter long-term care. So there's a huge opportunity for us to reduce the demand for long-term care, and it's a much less traumatic for seniors not to have to leave to move into a long-term care, a traditional long-term care facility. The other really great thing about the model we're talking about is we're talking about rebuilding Belvedere into 8 to 12 unit pods. So it's going to be very much family style, not long hallway concepts, which will all be independent air support, infection control systems, separate movement for staff and clients, like the residents, all within the all within the latest infection control standards that have been developed because of superbugs. COVID just being one of the most recent ones. There's been, as you know, lots of other superbugs before COVID, nothing quite so dramatic as COVID, but it's not the first time that long-term care facilities have been really hurt by superbugs. So this is, and we've had one meeting with the ministry, and it seems to be going fairly well. So the concept was getting initial approval from our stakeholders, the 8 municipalities that are shareholders in Belvedere, just to basically support the concept, which then gives us more clout with the government saying, we're on board to look at a different model of care for seniors. The other thing we're trying to do is convince them that this is a great demonstration project to look at this virtual model, which would also include potentially transportation, as well as another pressure on them to fund high-speed internet, right? Because it's tied into this healthcare delivery model, and then really seriously looking at how we can provide those services in more remote areas like ourselves or Whitestone or wherever, in terms of the distance of travel to the Parry Sound is not insignificant when you're a frail elderly person, and particularly if you're not feeling well. And so these are all things that are pretty exciting, and we're hoping we can get their attention to actually do a demonstration of how you can actually really restructure health and wellness services in a rural community, which is the bulk of Ontario, right? Not a lot of people, but most of Ontario is rural. And this would be a great demonstration project how you can do it with a relatively small community spread over hundreds of kilometers, essentially. And that's so I think they're interested, but we'll see. But it's important that we're all on board to support the initiative. And that's why Seguin took the lead, because of course they're the major shareholder. So they were the first one to pass this a couple weeks ago. And then they sent it out to all the other municipalities to consider. Anyway, thank you.
Any questions? Councillor Kekkonen?
So yeah, thank you for that explanation. You know, this is the first time this is before open council and in an open public discussion. So really the public is not fully aware of, you know, any background information in regards to this. Is there this resolution, has this been requested by some level of the provincial government? I just don't understand how this is now on the table when there has not been any background information publicly discussed at these council meetings. I'm just trying to understand how this resolution is at this on the table at this time, and what are the outcomes of or expectations from McKellar by if this motion is carried forward.
It's essentially a request from the Belvedere Board, and via and then others, as you know, the Belvedere is managed, is run, sort of owned by us, so the Seguin has taken the lead as sort of representing Belvedere to basically have the municipalities on board. It's It's just an expression of support for the concept. There is no obligation here. And in many times, as you know, Mike, the way our process works is we table something, we do first and second reading, then there's opportunity for the public to respond to a resolution. You know, and unless it's something really significant, we would say have a public meeting beforehand. But this is, in my view, of course, I'm immersed in this so much, perhaps, it's just really sort of business as usual in terms of a new idea has been is approached. It's a general concept, and looking for, is there any real reason why we would not want to proceed with further investigation of this general concept with no obligation at all until there's a lot more detail that comes to the table and ultimately a business case that would have to come to see what how this would unfold. But much of this is a political process, Mike, in terms of solidarity when we go to the ministry saying, you know, we've got all the stakeholders at the table, and we met last week with the board chairs of all the hospitals and health facilities, right, and some of the staff. So that was very impressive for the ADM to see that we're all on this Zoom call together talking about this process. That means something to them because politically we're aligned. And of course, municipalities are a very important piece of that. They're very concerned about us, and given it's a district municipal home. So that's reason why it's really a statement that we endorse what we've been talking about in terms of the concept, and we want you, government, to seriously consider this concept.
Just for the chair, these are another type of an example of where there should, possibly be some background information reported, presented to the municipal councils from the entities such as Belvedere, giving the background information and where things are at and what the expectations are. If this has been a process that's being discussed, at their board meetings, just so that council has a little deeper insight. I appreciate the information that's provided in this resolution, but still, for anyone that looks at the McKellar Council minutes, and this is the first time that they see this information, they probably would be wondering, where this is arising from and what's going to be the implications of this, and that is presented from the proponents of this in some type of a written report.
Yeah, and that will certainly be coming. Well, I am the proponent, right, as a representative of the council, and this is my baby, but that doesn't matter. I just happen to be in McKellar. But no, there will be much more coming with the next request for a resolution, which will be very specific, and we'll give you the information, more information that you need. It's a huge project. We're a long way away from having a robust business case. But we need interim agreement from the ministry. It's a little bit like some of the other things we look at. If you don't get an agreement in principle, it's no use doing a business case. And so that's very complicated in terms of transparency. Everyone's concerned about transparency. It's very complicated when you need to line up a few of your ducks before you think to go public about here's what the government will support. And because we've got that issue too, in terms of not embarrassing the government with going forward with stuff, it's a little tricky in terms of trying to get enough agreement from the Ministry of Long-Term Care that they will support a certain effort, and then we go public with what it's going to look like.
I think what this resolution is doing is informing council that there's a concept of care coming forward, and we want everybody to support that. There's going to be all sorts of detail coming out in reports and updates if we support the concept. There's no monetary involvement at this point in time or anything. I think overall probably it'll save us money down the road, but that's to be determined. So it's a concept to support the concept moving forward, as Siegman has done with other people. So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Because I joined the Whitestone council meeting last night to discuss this.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call a question, all in favor? Here. Thank you. And now we have the so, resolution 21227, that the council of the township of McKellar would be interested if Lakeland Holdings Limited secures funding for the Lakeland EV charging network project from the federal government in discussing a joint venture with Lakeland Holdings Limited to install one level 3 EV charging station, possibly two level EV charging station at the township of McKellar's community center located on 701 Highway 124. Okay, I have a mover and a seconder. So this is just saying we're interested in discussing it moving forward, basically, to get more information to see what's viable, what isn't. There's a bunch of hoops from what I was reading in the documents that they may decide we don't need one here. This isn't the appropriate place. That's why I'm writing some of the documentation.
So correct.
There's a lot of issues. Whether down the road we're going to be moving to electric fleet, that's a long-term exercise, to say the least. But
that's a lot.
Maybe not so long.
No, I have to start right in terms of like the.
So all this is saying is that we're going to talk with the Lakeland Holdings and find get some more information.
Right.
And staff report back.
Yes.
Any other discussion? Councillor Hassel? Were you voting?
I do have.
I wasn't sure which one you were doing.
A bit of a concern with the motion is, again, is pinpointing the community center here, where for me, I see it more if McKellar is going to be involved in talks or the possibility of receiving funding in the future for EV charging stations that. That's wonderful if it's determined that McKellar could use one in McKellar somewhere. I'm just, when we pinpoint the community center, I'm not so sure about that when it could be determined that a better place would be at a local business as a better stopover for charging. So I'm just kind of wondering why it's pinpointing the community center when last time something similar came to the table and I Googled the everywhere that most sites were and them being located at community centers was, well, I don't think I ever did find one, but I found lots that are located at businesses and, you know, all sorts of services, but not community centers. So I'm just wondering whether if McKellar's interested in a EV charging station, that it should be in in McKellar Township rather than again, pinpointing the community center when we may even determine ourselves that yes, it may be in conjunction with our roads charging system. So it may be if our roads department is where it is now, well, then maybe that might work better for the public. They can walk over to Minerva Park or they're close to the businesses. So I just wonder whether we, rather than pinpoint community center, it's to determine if McKellar should have one. Just a thought.
Okay, Councillor Hanselman.
I agree with you, Marvin. But I think if we're applying for a grant, it's going to be the same thing. We have to have a physical location. They have to know where it's going to go. We can't say, yeah, somewhere in McKellar. Where in McKellar? Right? It has to be part of the package. So we can say, right now, maybe the resolution say to determine where we're going to put it. Maybe we change it that way. But when we actually make the application has to be specific to an address. And we can't say, hey, Beaver Creek, let's put you over there. Like, we don't know. So the town, we own the township, so we can say, definitely we can put it here. Right?
Okay.
The previous proposal, Hydro One proposal, we gave them four options. Minerva Park, five. Minerva Park, the Rose Garage, Fire Station, Center Road near the store, and the Community Center. They chose Community Center, Hydro One. And now the same issue is Lakelands evaluates the sites, correct? In terms of, and so they recommend which site that they want an apartment servicing. The biggest issue is the ability to get hydro there is a huge issue. But there are other concerns as well. And of course, at the time, the last time we did this, we were looking at potentially having the walking trail here, which would be a great opportunity for people to park and go for a walk. And if we had other things here that they could spend money on, then that certainly is an opportunity for tourists to get exercise as well as spend their money. But that's where my personal preference was for Center Road, because the general store is there, Scooby's there, right? Then there's a greater opportunity for other people to spend money at that location. But there are other considerations.
So if we were going to amend this,
yeah,
and we would take out, we could just say, in the township of McKellen to be determined, something like that.
Yeah. Having it here too would be another incentive, because to having internet, we can offer free internet service and it can be an incentive to pull people here. So we have like a package, you know, I'm trying to say a package, so it's free internet from the library. They can come here and it's free internet, right? So and there's businesses around too, right? So they can go and surf and have free internet, and it'll draw people here. That's what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah. If we have a cafe,
additionally we have more through you, Mr. Chair. But additionally, there's more than just the community center here. There's the beach in the summer. There's the playground in the summer. There's the library. There's the museum downstairs. There's the arena. There's the ball diamond. Like this, and it's a 2-minute walk to McKellar General Store. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
And we did look at Minerva. That's a challenge. It doesn't really work. We have to bring to hardscape it, and then it becomes a little less environmentally friendly and things like that. So and Councillor Antonelli is absolutely correct on the Wi-Fi side of things. Visitors come into the area, they stop, that's the first thing they do is they go on their phone. Where am I? What can I get to within walking distance, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, we almost need to identify the location through this resolution so that which will help Lakeland as they submit their application. They will have a definitive spot that they can come and do the assessment of. We have the infrastructure in the building. We have a number of panels that can be tapped into. There's sufficient parking in the area on this footprint to allow for two or three cars to charge at the same time. So it's kind of an ideal spot, if you will, within the town of McKellar as opposed to the township of McKellar. So I just want to caution council on taking out the location. It'll make it much more difficult for the point to put forward an application successfully.
And the location can change, correct? After we get approval.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Because what we're missing really is a cafe concept, right?
Yeah.
Right. In terms of
someone's going to have a cafe like 30 seconds down the road.
Right.
Okay, I mean, there's two ways to do it. You can take it out, you can say, and just add after Highway 124, or as recommended by Lakeland Holding or something like that.
I would keep the address. It gives you more incentive.
I do not keep the address in, or as recommended by, as another possibility.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So that gives it opens it up. Our focus is roughly in this area.
And everything's on this side too, right? So if we put it by the road to the garage, you have people basically parking their cars there and walking across the 124.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Unless you make a bridge.
Until we make our bridge across the 124, right? That's a few years away.
Okay, we just said it as far as recommended by Lakeland. Any further discussion? Councilor Kekkonen?
With everything, there's pros and there's cons, and our job as a council is to make a balanced decision. We really don't have a lot of background information once again. They're in the Narcan program, it indicates that there's going to be a 50% cost sharing in this. So what are the costs going to be to the Township of McKellar with this program?
If there is any cost, that would be in-kind associated costs at this point in time. That's my understanding from Jennifer Montpetit at Lakeland. So it would be a tap into one of our electrical panels. It would be some of the use of the parking lot for that. If we have to put bollards in to protect it, that would be nominal cost that we would incur to put the station in. That's about it.
It's not like $100,000 or something like that that was proposed. It's minimal.
What is the cost? Because we need to make an informed decision. We need the information. That's what happened in the previous application. Members of council had no report in front of them. They had absolutely no background information and were expected to vote on a resolution. And how are we able to do that in good faith without information? It says it's a 50% cost-sharing program, so Narcan is contributing 50%, and is Lakeland contributing the other 50%, or they are the applicant putting in to receive 50%, and then the other 50% is coming from the township?
No, that's not my understanding.
No, it's correct. It's not.
We need to have that verified, because this is how that other application was worded, was that the applicant was putting in for the... and there would be the same type of a situation where there's a 50% contribution of those applicants within that application process, which every of these applications involved 20 applicants within that application. And it seems to me this is very similar to the wording that was in the previous application. And when it talks about cost-sharing agreements with eligible projects, that's indicating that there's going to be a need for a financial contribution by the participant. So in order to make an informed decision, because we've had quite a feedback from our ratepayers regarding their opposition to the municipality spending their tax dollars on these electric charging stations when there is no background information, there isn't a plan. There's a talk about the fleet going electric. I'm sure the manufacturer supplies manufacturer-specific charging stations for the fleet vehicles that they're selling, and it's not going to be just
through you, Mr. Chair. As a matter of fact, they don't do that. None of the manufacturers that I've looked at offer charging stations. They expect other entities to provide those. Tesla is the only one that I know of that provides a charging station specific for their vehicles. Sun Country EV is one that does provide charging stations for electric vehicles, non-specific. Hyundai, Kia, neither one of them provide charging stations for their vehicles. This is, again, going to become a basic part of the infrastructure for any community. And you can either, in this application, all this is doing basically is saying council is in support of submitting an application for funding. The conversations that I've had with Jennifer Montpetit would indicate that the only financial burden that the township would be incurring would be an in-kind cost. So tapping into our panel, things like that. We do have the infrastructure here. It would be the use of the land at 701 Highway 124. The other aspect of it is the number of visitors that are going to come to the site. If ratepayers don't want anybody to come to McKellar and to spend their dollars here in McKellar, it's an easy solution. It's just don't put the infrastructure in. And this is a piece of infrastructure that I think is going to be critical in the next 5 years. And if Perry South is going to put them in. Dunchurch will be putting them in. Magnetowan, Burke's Falls, Sunridge will be the community that everybody will bypass because we don't have the infrastructure for them to stop that.
Okay, so just look at the resolution. The resolution isn't committing anything to anything. So all it is that if they get the funding, if contingent on
if.
Secondly, we're going to enter in discussing a joint thing, which will be a staff report that comes back to council. So that's the way it's done. All we are saying that we're interested in discussing a joint venture, not committing to a joint venture. We will need a staff report like we had in other cases. So let's be clear on that. This is just discussion. But that's to move it forward. We're not committing to anything because we don't know all the details. But we're willing to listen and discuss the idea. And if it's viable for us financially, tourism-wise, economically, whatever, then that's up to us to make that decision. But this is just to enter into a discussion. Okay? And that's what the resolution says. Okay? Any other discussion? Councilor Keckin?
This is not a debate about whether there's going to be electric vehicles in the future. This is not a debate about whether McKellar supports electric vehicles or charging stations, or McKellar wants people to come to McKellar or not. This is ensuring that McKellar Township councillors have a full vision of the what's going to be the expectations cost-wise. And that was the main component of the concern regarding the taxpayers, that we spend their taxpayer dollars on items that they deem that they would like to have in McKellar Township.
We're not spending any money in this resolution. All we're doing is entering into a discussion.
The previous
the other one was $100,000.
Yes, and the previous application, which looks very similar to this, It would submit an application which required 20 participants, such as us, 20 charging stations, so that if they did get the funding, that you are almost committed, that you have shown your interest in the charging stations, that now it's moved on to the next step. Are you assuring us that if there's an outcry from our taxpayers, that at this point in time, they do not feel that whatever this cost is going to be, 50% contribution it says here, is not money they want spent on electrical charging stations, that we are not committed to that?
Councilor Anderson.
Councilor Kenton, all we're doing is basically putting an application in and saying, hey, can we get it, number one? So no money's coming down from the township. So this is on the table just to say, can we get it? We're asking Dad, can we have money? That's what we're doing right now. Once we get the money, then we can decide, yay or nay. Right now, all you're doing is basically boycotting this year or trying to stop us to getting any information moving forward. This might be just a discussion wasting everybody's time because they might say no, like the other one.
Right.
So right now it's on the table. The only thing that's going to be understanding is, hey, Dad, can we have some money? All right now we're giving up to base, or not even giving up, proposing space. That's all we're doing. No money, zero amount of money is going out. So I don't understand why the public would have any dispute on something we're just getting information from. All we're asking is saying, hey, Dad, can we have some money? No, you can't. All right, let's move on to the next thing.
We're exploring a possibility. That's all we're doing, trying to get more information. Okay. Councillor Carmichael.
This is exactly the same problem with the first resolution. The issue there was, yes, we were contributing money, but we were also getting revenue. And potentially over time, we would make money on this business. Now, the fundamental issue then was, once Intercan said yes, you enter into a non-disclosure with Hydro One and you develop the business case. So it's the same issue here. You don't waste your time on a business case if the feds don't come through with the Anarchy grant. That's where we're at. And we got that simple letter a couple weeks ago that said no, that ended it all.
That's right.
Same thing again here. And in this case, they are Lakeland is taking all of the responsibility and all of the revenue.
That's right.
We have So it's a good deal for them once the charging stations get used, and all we are doing is giving them line deeds. And maybe there's some small cost, and of course, as we talked about, maybe we can negotiate some kind of revenue sharing in the future. They're taking all the risk at the moment, not us.
Any further last words so we can move on?
It's the same concept as we asked you for the EVs, the system we're putting in down in the township hall. We asked for it, right? When we try to go through COVID fund, and we asked for it, and then it's yes, then you move on saying, yes, we want this over here. So all we're asking is permission, can we have it? So it's not costing any money. It just right now, it's all information putting on the table.
And you can say no?
Final word. If it's new information.
It certainly is. We had hundreds of McKellar ratepayers want their voices represented at the council table the last time this issue came forward. And that's what I'm doing at this point in time, as my role as a member of council, to represent our taxpayers, and their voices need to be represented in every discussion that we have. There is no, it does not say anywhere here that there will be no cost to McKellar Township. And this is the problem, is that councillors do not have all of the information. There seems to be some indication that one member of council is saying that the Lakeland is taking all of the risk and going to be receiving all of the revenue. I don't have that in my council information. I have to make decisions on behalf of my taxpayers, the individuals whose money we're responsible for and to have proper stewardship over, to make wise decisions. And if I don't have all the information, I can't make a decision in good faith in regards to this matter.
Okay. Anything else? Again, we're not talking money. We're talking about discussing tonight, moving forward.
Application.
We're going to have to make a full report come back. They're going to have public input. There's no question about that whatsoever. So as long as people get the correct information before they react, which didn't happen last time, in one of my honest opinion, we need to make sure that we keep everybody informed. This is just entering into a discussion. More information for the public. Councilor Aspin?
Just that, last time it happened, a lot of people jumped on board and were quite critical of it, though it looked like McKellar was going to put in $100,000 per EV charging stations, and when you probably only have 1-2% to drive electric cars in the township, it's like, wow, are they really getting their money's worth? So it was really criticized, and I'm not talking by just our normal critics that are on Facebook, and that this was pretty much everybody. It was almost embarrassing to walk around the township, and they were volunteering, and they're all picking on you because of the decision you made. And it maybe was a lack of information or whatever, but we're heading right into the same situation again, where this is going to look like, oh, they're putting charging stations at the township. That's probably going to cost them $100,000. It would have been nice, similar to what Councillor Kekkonen is saying, maybe some sort of a statement from our staff. And Lance has made some good points, and sounds like we're not committing totally by any means. And if we did go ahead in the future, cost would be minimal. Just for the public, it would have been nice to have that. No, I can, I guess, direct people when they point and laugh at me to, I guess, Lance, just to say, oh no, well, don't get too excited here. And I am aware that there will be a lot more steps to go forward, and if a motion hits the table, okay, it's going to, McKellar share is going to be $84,000. Well, then at that point, I can vote no. But right. In the meantime, I guess for the possibility at a low cost of promoting some economic development here in McKellar to give people a reason to stop and maybe do some shopping and enjoy our wonderful township, I'll vote yes this time. But there'll be some public backlash again.
All right. Any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Opposed?
Abstain.
That's opposed.
That's abstain. I don't have the information I need. I'm abstaining.
Abstain means opposed. Carried. Resolution 21228, pursuant to the Emergency Management Act RSO 1990-CE9, whereby a municipal emergency has been declared, the head of council or the council municipality may at any time declare that an emergency has terminated. Now therefore be resolved that the council of the Township of Keller does declare a municipal emergency, which was enacted on March 27, 2020, terminated as of June 30th, 2021. Just to clarify, it was 27th. I thought it was the 12th.
I'm sorry, I'm just going by.
I know, I think I've had this argument with Ina before, that I'm pretty sure it was the Friday the 12th. But, just a minute. I thought it was on the Friday the 12th of March.
Oh, yes, the, you mean the beginning.
But I don't have it then.
Yeah, right, right.
It was before March break.
Yeah.
It was before, it was the week before, or the week before March break.
It's posted on the door outside there, I think.
I know, I've had this debate with it before, so.
I'll just stroke the 12th.
I'll just.
In March.
In March.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? Just, that's good. I don't want to say 27, because my gut says that I could be wrong. That's fine. As of March 2020. So it's basically 15 months. And all this means, just I just speak to Paul. If I need a mover, a second, first. Councilor, a second, Councilor. I just speak to it very quickly. All it really means is that we gave everybody a break on the interest on late taxes for 15 months. So it's affected our income, basically, which is a good chunk of income. Now that penalty will start as of July 1st. I don't know how many haven't paid. Oh, I don't know how many haven't paid yet, but I heard there weren't that many.
No,
they weren't thousands, or there might be 100 or something. Well, I don't know what they are. But we have to give them notice that it's going to start to accrue now. And it's a fair percentage. So that was one of the alerts. That's the only thing it really means at this point in time, just to clarify for everybody. Okay, any further discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Carried. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, procedural bylaw. If everybody's read it and made notes, we'll put it on the table. Now, Resolution 21229, be resolved that the Council of Township together is hereby give bylaw number 2020-28, being a bylaw to establish 21. Being a bylaw to establish rules governing the procedures of council, the calling of meetings, and the conduct of members, staff, and the public, first and second reading. Need a mover and a second. Councillor Zanelli and Councillor Haskell. What did I just ask you about? I forgot what I was going to ask you about.
Unpaid taxes.
Oh, yeah. How many? Well, I guess we shouldn't say it. Oh, we shouldn't. I'm just saying, we've declared a state of emergency now. Late tax fees can apply as of July 1st.
Okay.
Okay. That's what that was about.
Okay, so we have a resolution on the table about the procedural bylaw. I have passed mine on to Lance yesterday. I just had a few typos. The only changes I put in was that in the agenda item, the acknowledgement thing should be in there. It is not in the new one. The other one that I had was all the way through, we had sometimes CAO, sometimes clerk. I think we should put CAO/clerk in all those cases. That would make it consistent all the way through.
I think we tried to do that.
Yeah, I know. Searching for questions. Double check. That was the one thing. And the only other one that I had that I raised up is that written reports, you know, I think everybody should do written reports. If you're making a report to council, it should be in writing. That's my belief. But it's not in there anyway. It says for staff or it says for whatever.
That was the other one.
If a member abstains from a vote, this is recorded as an abstention. Yeah, I agree. Well, will not be recorded as a vote against the motion. Okay, that's a change. Okay. All right. Those are the ones I had, and I have passed those on. I don't think there's... Yeah, they were the only... I just had very few typos. It was just so big. Anybody else have any that would like to make sure that we cover them all off? Because we do first and second reading, and we hold off for a while and get more comments. I mean, it is a real good cleanup for a lot of things, so especially with our meetings. And we needed to do this partly because of the COVID-19 stuff, the procedural stuff with meetings, and we wanted to do that all together. Come to the state of emergency, so this is all dovetailed together. Is there anything in there that people are alerted to that they think should be revamped? I know it's a lot of work, and it's very detailed. But there's a lot of good information here, so. Must we check it?
Yeah, so in definitions, I believe there should be a few definitions added, such as committee of the whole. There is a definition for ad hoc committee and standing committee, so committee of the whole, because it is in previous versions and is used occasionally. Recess, it's referred to in here, and just to ensure that any recesses that are called are according to the proper processes.
Do you recall when we've had a recess?
Yeah, and I'm not going to discuss it.
We're going to have one tonight if this keeps up. Let's go.
I mean, I think if you have some things that are, you should put them in writing and get them to Lance. If you have any concerns, because I think that's the way we can get it.
Yeah, everything should be done through
the report. This is the first time. It's a big document. So, you know, it'll take us a while to make sure we have everything covered. So this is just the first and second with variations. And then the third will be have adjustments made to it. So
I think that's the most effective way because I've got quite a few. Yeah.
So if you have some things, then get them to the CAO for consideration to be put in for the third reading for the next week.
And I'm just wondering, Lance, okay, so we've read this document, and to me it was fine, some nice housekeeping additions and changes and that, and rather than for changing of reading or next meeting where you've made a lot of additions or changes, because Mike's going to hand you a bunch of them, is it possible to do just a secondary document stating the changes that have been made in the document?
Absolutely. Okay. It'll save us a lot of printing.
Yeah, a lot of reading for us too to go through, read the whole thing again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, is that fair for everybody? Yes.
So would that mean Lance to be another red line version just for us?
Yeah. more
which
or less.
Was our printing, and our attorney interim.
Yeah.
And then as Marley just suggested, a summary research or published would be great.
The I thought the redline version would help, and that we might get some of those comments back prior to the tonight's council meeting, but we didn't. So
yeah, so it'd be another
Any further discussion?
Great.
Okay, everybody says we can have everybody in, you can get the lights, and then we have a first and second meeting, and then we're going to get some red lines out, circulated, and then we'll have a third, our next meeting, we'll try and finalize.
Do you want to give us a deadline for our...
Yesterday.
My whole life is yesterday.
If we could have anything in by
end of the month,
I was going to say by Monday.
Yeah,
no. Because we need a week ahead of the next council meeting. So, which means that everything has to be submitted Tuesday prior to the next council meeting. So I'm going to have time to make the changes, send out the redline version with the summary, and receive it back. So we're talking about a pretty tight timeline.
Our next meeting is until July, right? Our next meeting
end
is official
Friday?
Yeah.
Our next official meeting is July, though?
Yeah. July, yeah. Middle of July.
July 13th.
July 13th, yeah.
Okay.
So even if you have July 1st.
Well, we're getting to work on July 1st.
The state of emergency is over, you get the best out, you'll be bored the long weekend. There's lots of things you can do.
Okay. Call the question, all in favor?
Come in off the boat once in the next 3 weeks.
I don't even have a boat. I can't buy a boat.
No.
Okay. Debenture file. Resolution 21-230. Be it resolved that the Council Township of Dunedin is hereby given bylaw number 2021-29, being a bylaw to approve the submission of an application to Ontario Infrastructure and Lands Corporation, OILC, for the long-term financing of certain capital works of the Corporation of Township and McKellar Municipality, and to authorize entering into a rate offer letter agreement pursuant to which the municipality will issue debentures to OILC be approved. First and second reading and read a third time in open council's 8th day of June 2021. Have a move and a second, please. Councilor Carmichael. Second. Councilor Can you speak to it at all?
But this is just really the formalized paperwork. Right. The information we've done. We've already committed to this a while ago. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So.
Do you want to say anything to
it? It's a part of the process. They would like to pass us the bylaw before they can give us the money. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. Okay, going to unfinished business. Website update, there's a resolution 21-231. Be resolved that the Council Township has hereby received a verbal report from CEO Clark Blanchard on the status and expected go-live of the Township's new website.
Yesterday.
Go-live.
Yesterday. Yeah, well,
yesterday. I need to move her in a second. Councilor Antonelli. And Councillor Haston?
By Friday.
So we'll talk with Mr. Goldline himself.
By Friday.
You got courage moving that motion before we find out the bad news.
So, and I'm going to rely on Mary on this one because Mary's been doing the bulk of the work on this one. Our biggest challenge over the last month has been resources. And Mary's done everything that she can to address it. I owe Mary a couple of items for that website. And at this point in time, we are hoping to do a soft launch within the next couple of weeks. We will be live at some point in July. We were targeting July 1st. It's going to be delayed at least another 2 weeks. It's a resource issue.
Well, if we launch, we want to do it right. Make sure it's pretty close. It's going to be
well, we want a soft launch. And if we can get a soft launch within the next 2 or 3 weeks, then we'll...
You said you were going to have it reviewed
externally?
I'm going
to have it reviewed by a couple of external people that do this frequently. Before we launch it officially,
So we'll have a pre-launch,
yeah,
and then get comments back, and then we'll launch it. Beautiful. Any other questions, comments? Call a question, all in favor. It's a big project, I know. You can thank Mary now and later.
I want to see it launched first. We'll see how user friendly it is.
It's got to be more user friendly than what we're doing.
Okay. Any other? This is public notices. I have my report. I just wonder if anybody else has anything they want to bring up. First of all, so let's start with Marco.
Yeah, actually, I had my first rental committee meeting. And I think it went quite well. All we did is basically introduce everybody, see everybody's credentials and stuff like that. And I basically put a letter into the integrity commissioner to see if there is a conflict within, if I say I have property that I rent out in McKellar, do I have a conflict beyond that committee? So I'm waiting for the integrity commissioner to come in. I don't think there is because... It affects the whole community. It doesn't affect just, let's say I'm using me for an example, just me. It affects everybody. So I don't think I will have. Again, I'm just using me for example. But I'm waiting for him to give me a letter before I move forward for my next meeting. So, and also David Murray, we missed him last time. So we'll have to approve him again. And then I just told him he'd come as a guest. He's part of my business and he must be part of my rental. So, I told him he can come on my next one as a guest, but next council meeting, if we can accept them, please.
Okay.
And I have another committee, my business, I have a committee, he's on the 26th.
Yeah. How many people do you have at the meeting?
I had only one listen, 14.
Wow.
Yeah. 14. So now I have 16 in that committee.
I mean, it would be a hot.
I have 16 with Murray.
There we go.
Yep. All knowledgeable people.
Great.
Yeah, great.
Don, do you have something?
Yes, the audiovisual install started today in the community center. And we go in and now you see a couple of scaffolds set up and reams of tables of goodies. And so it's probably about a week install. But we still have that's just to get up and running, and then he's testing and training and stuff like that. So we don't have I didn't ask for a date yet, because they still have to, they're just starting to install and get the electrical coordinate and stuff like that. But it's about a 4-day actual physical install, and then the testing takes place.
So also the meeting coming up?
Yes, we have the 150th, right? I think you mentioned it in our last meeting. So next Wednesday, we have the first inaugural meeting of the Birthday Bash committee.
Anybody else have anything?
Well, I had a Wellness Center Pool Committee meeting on June 3rd, and we're working on the next steps just in case the funding ever does come forward as of June 3rd. This is how I'm talking, as of June 3rd. So just next steps that would need to be done, and that would basically get three municipalities that haven't jumped totally on board to get them on board. Work on the steering committee will work on municipal service board, possibly looking at if we did receive the funding to get a project manager, and they would determine if it's design build or design tender, and basically what monies would be needed to continue with the steps. And then as of you're probably going to announce, but yesterday
I'm going to let you and Lance announce.
Yesterday it was announced by our MPP Norm Miller and our MP Aitchison that the funding has come through for the Pool and Wellness Center, so we will receive full funding as per application that was sent in by the steering committee. So that is, I believe, very sound area. Municipalities will receive in excess of $20 million toward the build of a new pool and wellness center. So that was quite exciting news. So
I was on Monday Zoom at
yesterday 1:30. Yeah.
So we've drafted a press release dealing with the announcement. So it's been vetted by Matt, so it's here. You can circulate it to everybody. So anyway, it gives the exact figures. I didn't know the exact point something. So, but it's a $31 million grant, point something, and the percentage for ourselves is only 26.7%. 8.5 million. Yeah. That's without any fundraising. So that's the capital stuff. So it's basically 26 cents, 27 cents on the dollar. I mean, I've never seen a grant like that before ever. I didn't think we'd get it because I thought COVID-19, the money would be used in other projects. But from what we heard from both the MP and MPP, is the collaborative nature of the approach what sold it. And Norm did a lot of background work selling it for everybody. So give them kudos. So we give them kudos there. So we'll circulate this once.
And then on that point, I don't know if we want to, Lance, have a meeting to discuss McKellar's position and how we're going to go forward with our contribution and that.
We can talk about it enclosed a little bit tonight with respect to the numbers and whatnot.
Sure.
So we've got it. It is part of the closed
position
tonight.
Okay.
So not sure if we'll come to a rock-solid decision, but
discuss.
Certainly have the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any others? Okay, I'll do mine. I won't do them all because I'm going to circulate it all to everybody anyway. Just that the MLCA second annual tree project was really a good success. We had a lot of good volunteers. I've named them all. Close to 2,000 native trees and 2 kilograms of seed were distributed. The market will be open July 3rd. They've got approvals from everybody. I noted here that we were able to soon announce the Perry Sound High School Bursary Awards to McKellar. I just got them today in name, so I'll circulate that memo to everybody, and we'll find out a time which we can have a public acknowledgement of their awards. The issue here is that we've had a Canador Award for 6 years now for $500 for a student going to Perry Sound Canador College. Never had a taker. Zero. Okay? And we've even reduced the criteria that he had to be a body from McKellar, basically. Nothing. So I talked with the Canador people, and they said, well, why don't you talk with Trina at the high school and to put it in with the high school award so that the people who are graduating may recognize it. That was a really good idea. So I talked to Trina, we've done that. But nobody's going to Canador locally. So we have 3 awards. So what I think that award should do, that award should go to the Perry Sound High School Awards for post-secondary education, and that goes from 1,000 to 1,500, which is the maximum anybody gets, 500, but it could be 3 times 500. That's what I think would be the make sense for us to do that. But we'll probably have to, I don't know what we can do. We can do that this year. And yeah, so maybe I can do it on Turkey. I don't know. But because we haven't awarded anybody yet. We have $1,000. If 3 people are eligible, they each get 333. So this way, we're just going to roll it into a $1,500 bursary for McKellar students up to a maximum of $500. So we can, when do we have to do it?
We'll try for Thursday.
All right. So,
Anyway, so I did just got that before I came over. I just checked my email before I came over, so I'm pleased with that. We had the Recreation Committee's photo contest is being completed. The results will be in the North Star. The Environmental Committee has recommended, we've talked with staff about holding up our second Clean Up the Lakes routine, but it's going to change a little bit. We're going to try and hold it over 3 days at the transfer station with a bin designated for clean up your lake debris. And just people will come and drop it in there. We'll have some monitoring going on and stuff. But it's over 3 days, the Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And we can promote it that way through the transfer station. So, on Monday the 31st, we did lower our flags to half mast out of respect for the many Indigenous children who died in residential schools. Just so if anybody was wondering what that was for, that's what we're doing. Our EMC has been meeting regularly to try and deal with the new protocols and that, and we've sent out notices to all the groups that need to get approvals for everything. And so nothing is going to change until the ICU cases decline, vaccination rates are higher, and everyone continues to abide by the strict protocol. So we're expecting that the 3-week protocols will be 2 weeks starting on the 11th, but we'll wait and see. But we don't think we'll officially open all our facilities until at least September, but we need to get our own. The library has protocols developed. They've got to get through the health unit. We don't. We need to develop protocols to open up our community offices and the community center. So that's something that we have to do. Our Lakes Stewardship Committee has meeting some budget stuff this Saturday, but we're just about finished the draft report. Thank you to Mary very much. I told her she had to add her name to the report because she's done a lot of labor. It's really looking sharp, so we're vetting that. We're going to have a public PowerPoint presentation we're working on. And the first one will be at the MLCA AGM, whenever they're going to hold that, because they haven't decided that at all. And then we'll have a public meeting, which we'll do it as well. Library board's just doing all their stuff. And the school committee's already done. I we were going to outline a response to the zoning bylaw. Yep. While you're working on a Q&A response to the zoning bylaw issues from a few people. It is being appealed, from what I understand. We're lifting our state of emergency. The Ridge is open. The camps are opening, but they're opening on a different format. They're having it as a family camp as opposed to First of Kodiak. But they are open, and that's the main thing. We have heard from Mr. Thompson that our EMS board will review our concerns, and we've heard from a few municipalities who supported our CERB resolution. So not as many as I would hope, but we've got a few distant, smaller municipalities. So lots of events coming up. So we've got our budget meeting on Thursday. Stewardship committee is the 12th to 26th. We've got Sesquia on the 16th. We're just confirming the Ridges Environmental Plan meeting for next week. It's going to be at 5 o'clock, one of those days, in which they're doing a deposition on their environmental plan for last year and future. So the Georgian Bay Biosphere is going to be upgrading the Butterfly Garden on the 21st. And the rest is in the report that I'll circulate to you if anybody has any questions. Okay? Thank you. So we have the consent agenda. Oh, they're the names of the people. I'll circulate that around. You might know them, and if you do, then talk to me so I can get to know them. So, resolution 21232 be resolved that the Council of Township Governors hereby receive the consent agenda. Mover and seconder, Councilor Antonelli. Seconder, Councilor Carmichael. Is there any discussion? Call a question, all in favor? Carried.
So, resolution 21233, be resolved that the Council of Township Gunner pursuant to Municipal Act SO 2001 has amended, move into closed session at 8:55 p.m. to discuss the following items: minutes of closed sessions, personal matters by identifiable individual, including municipal or local board employees, 2392B, a proposed or pending acquisition or depending disposition of land by the municipality or local board, 2392C, litigation or potential litigation, including matters before administrative tribunals affecting municipality or local board, 2392E, advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose, 2392F, a position, plan, procedure, criteria, or instruction to be applied to any negotiations carried on or to be carried on by or on behalf of the municipality or local board, 2001, C25, S239, 217, C10, SCH1, S26-239, 2K.
Just almost just a bingo.
Just a comment. I think you missed asking the question about question commentary.
Oh, I did. Hold that one. I did.
Mr. Steed's on, so we can ask him directly. Mr. Steed.
I did. I'm sorry, Michael. I didn't do that. Are there any questions from anybody who's observing that was on the agenda?
Okay.
Hearing none. Okay, so I need a mover and a seconder. Councilor Ancinelli. Councilor Carter. All in favor?
Okay. Queens. I'm just going to be